Well, the election campaign is nearly over. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and the opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, have been flat out today, making their final appeals to voters ahead of tomorrow's election. It had appeared that thousands of Australians in COVID isolation may have been unable to vote, but the government and opposition have agreed to urgent changes to the electoral laws so they can have their say by phone. But will the system hold up? Nell Whitehead prepared this report.
Good timing.
As you do, the bells are tolling once again for the Morrison government.
Labor leader Anthony Albanese has been on a whistle-stop tour of four states as the final national polls show the race between the two major parties tightening.
Tomorrow Australians do have a choice. They have a choice between a better future under Labor, a better future where they can vote for cheaper childcare, vote for ending the climate wars, vote for more secure work.
And by his side in South Australia, the former Labor Prime Minister Julia Gillard appealed to one group of voters in particular.
What I want to see for this country is a government that cares about, values and includes women. And I know that a government led by Albo will do precisely that.
More than 4.6 million Australians have already voted at an early voting centre, and millions more have requested a postal vote. But on the eve of the election, both sides were still trying to win over undecided voters with gloomy predictions.
What the government has is just fear campaigns and smear campaigns, shirking responsibility and smirking while they do it. A government that's left Australia with $1 trillion of debt, but not enough to show for it.
The alternative is a Labor Party that we know doesn't know how to manage money. And it always means that when Labor can't manage money, they always come after yours with higher taxes.
As Mr Albanese zigzags the country, Mr Morrison set up camp today in Western Australia, trying to sandbag key Liberal seats, including Pearce and Swan, with other familiar messages.
We stopped the boats and stopped the carnage at sea. The people smugglers went out of business. Now, right now up in Indonesia, those people smugglers are starting to get ready if a Labor government is elected. And we know that.
Western Australia doesn't normally get this much attention, but if the election is tight, it could swing the result.
And it all comes down to one thing, and that is a strong economy. And by voting Liberal and National, you're able to lock that certainty in of a strong economy that helps you plan for your future with confidence.
As the leaders made their final push, the Australian Electoral Commission has made an 11th hour change to voting rules, allowing people who tested positive for COVID after last Friday evening to vote by phone. Previous rules meant tens of thousands of voters who hadn't registered for a postal ballot could have been disenfranchised. Commissioner Tom Rogers spoke to RN Breakfast this morning.
We will be working to make sure that queues are as smooth as they can be, but I'm just pointing out to everyone this is a one-off emergency project and it will be a lumpy experience.
COVID has taken out tens of thousands of AEC staff that will create queues at polling booths and close some booths in regional and rural areas. Dr. Jill Shepherd is a political scientist at the Australian National University. She spoke to PM's Carly Williams.
The very blunt answer is that they probably don't have enough staff. We don't appreciate very well in Australia what an incredible job the AEC does. 99.9% of the time, they perform their mandated duties without us even realising. And what we've seen this year is that even with the best contingency planning, they haven't been able to see with foresight some of the things that may have come up.
What is the worst case scenario here?
For individual voters is that they end up hanging on the phone for 12 hours. The worst case scenario for the AEC and probably for the country as a whole is that there are still people hanging on the phone at 6 p.m. on Saturday who don't get to cast a valid vote, who leave feeling frustrated, disenfranchised and just pretty down about the whole system.
And it's not just people with COVID who could miss out on having their say tomorrow. Some aged care residents have expressed concern about the lack of pre-poll access. Rosemary seen is a resident at Maclay Valley House on the central coast of New South Wales. She told PM there's been no sign of AEC mobile voting teams there.
There didn't seem to be anything organised in our particular home, which has about 160 residents, and probably about half of those would be interested in voting, but that there wasn't anything organised, no. I know in past years the Electoral Commission used to organise a mobile voting service to the bigger nursing homes, but anyway, I personally lodged a postal vote some weeks ago.
Do you think some residents in aged care homes have missed out?
I think that if they had been a mobile voting opportunity here, I'm sure a lot more people would have availed themselves of the opportunity. Yes, I think so. I just think it was a shame.
The AEC had warned that mobile voting teams would not be able to visit all aged care facilities or any hospitals due to the risk of COVID.
Nell Whitehead and Carly Williams with that report.